Welcome to Live with Lon. I'm so glad you've joined us today. And we are going to be continuing in our series here in the Gospels, particularly in Matthew chapter 23, as we talk about the sins of the rabbis. Remember what we said, that in this chapter, Matthew chapter 23, the Lord Jesus stops just sideswiping the rabbis and confronts them straight on in terms of their sins and in front of all the people, calls them out with eight woes. Woe are you. Woe unto you, hypocrites. And he enumerates a bunch of their sins, which we've been looking at and then applying to our own life. So, today we're going to continue with the next one, which is they were legalists. And I'm going to explain what it means to be a legalist and how they were, and then we're going to apply all that to our life. But before we do that, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray today that you would open God's Word to our heart, and Lord Jesus, that you would help us to really understand what the rabbis were doing wrong, what this sin is and was in their day. And Lord, that you would speak to us about not copying this sin in our lives today. Father, I pray that you would use your word to really confront us on some very serious sin that exists in the church today and in our lives as Christians, and help us to understand it and to fight it in our own lives. And we commit our time in the scripture to you now. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, what? Amen. And what? Amen. Now, what do we study at Lon Solomon Ministries? Tell me. We study what? The Bible. Come on. The whole Bible. And what? Nothing but the Bible. Then we apply it to our life. And that's what we're going to do today. So, here we go. We're in Matthew chapter 23. And if you remember last week, the Lord Jesus condemned the rabbis for being, what were they? We taught you a new word last week. What were they? They were obfuscators of spiritual truth. To obfuscate, literally obfuscari in the Latin, means to darken. And this means to confuse, to complicate spiritual truth, to make it harder to understand. And the reason they did this was so that they could keep power over the people and cause the people to think that the people couldn't understand the Bible without the rabbis interpreting it for them. I failed to show you one scripture last week that I wanted to. It's in the end of John chapter 7, and of course we're using the New King James Version of the Bible. And listen to this. This is the attitude of the rabbis that they communicated. Then the officers came to the chief priests and the Pharisees, who said to them, why have you not brought Jesus to us? We sent you to arrest him. The officer said, no man ever spoke like this man. And the Pharisees said, are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd that does not know the law is accursed. Now, what were they saying? Well, they were basically saying that because the everyday person, the everyday man or woman in the street, had not learned all that they had learned about the rabbi's comments that eventually became the Mishnah and the Gemara, the Talmud, that they are cursed, that they don't know the law, is what they said. Well, this was their attitude. This was what they communicated. You don't know the law. You haven't been to yeshiva like I've been, and so therefore you know nothing. We'll tell you what to believe. We'll tell you who the Messiah is, and we'll tell you who he's not. See the power I'm talking about? And I remember one time I was flying back from Israel with this, had this man on the plane with me, this Jewish man sitting next to me, older Jewish man, and I began trying to start up a conversation with him about the Lord Jesus being the Messiah. And finally he said to me, he said, I said, I was raised Jewish. And he said, you go to Hebrew school? I said, yes. Did you go to yeshiva, which is like, you know, what would I call yeshiva? It was like a prep school or college, studying the rabbinic teachings and the Talmud, the Mishnah, the Gemara. I said, no. And he said, you know nothing. You know nothing, he said to me. I said, well, I know the you know nothing. I said, well, I tell you what, sir, I know for sure that I'm going to heaven. Do you know that? Because if you don't know that, seems to me I know something that you don't know. Ah, he said, bah. He just did like this to me. Ah, you know nothing. And that was it. Wouldn't talk to me the rest of the flight. And it was an 11-hour flight home from Israel. This is the attitude. So, this week, we're going to move on now. And we're going to talk about the next sin of the rabbis, which is they were legalists. Let me read this, the verses to you. Woe to you, verse 23, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, but you have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides, you strain at a gnat, but you swallow a camel. We'll come back to that second verse because many of us have heard it. But what's he saying? He's saying, you tithe a mint and anise and cumin, these very expensive spices. You give them to God as a way of worship. And Jesus says later that that's great. That's fine. But you neglect, Jesus said, you neglect the weightier matters of the law. And what are they? They are justice and mercy and faith. Now notice that tithing mint and anise and cumin, what are they? They are outward actions, right? But faith and justice and mercy, these are inner qualities that a person has. And so what Jesus is saying to them is that you guys are experts on the outward parts of Judaism and of the law, but you neglect the inward parts, the outer appearance you guys are big on, but the inner reality of walking with God, you neglect that. You understand? Now then, Jesus goes on to say, verse 24, you blind guides, you strain at a gnat, a little tiny, you know, gnat, a bug, and you swallow a camel. We've all heard that saying, very famous saying. It means you major on the minors. That's what it means. You major on the minors, a gnat, and the real majors you treat as minor, a camel. What was the gnat he's talking about? Well, the tithing of mint and anise and cumin. And what was the camel? Justice and mercy and faith. In other words, you major on the minors, and you treat as minor the things that are really major. The inward realities of walking with God, you treat as minor, while the outward performance and realities you treat as major, like tithing or fasting or walking around with big phylacteries on, like he talked about earlier in the chapter, or saying long prayers, all of this. You remember? These outward things. Now, that's the end of our passage. So we want to stop now. We want to ask our most important question. What is it? Well, we all know. Come on, ready? 1, 2, 3. So what? Oh, yeah. And my good friend Jackie, what does he say? He says, how sweet it is. And it is sweet today to be teaching the Word of God to you and to myself. So, what does this mean for you and me? What I want to tell you to take home with you today from our Word, our time, rather, in the Word. Well, very simple. It's that even today, it's very easy to focus on the outward part of being a Christian instead of the inward part. The outer part of walking with God versus the inner part. This is what legalism is. Legalism simply means taking the outer performance-based parts of our faith and emphasizing them over the inner parts of our faith. That's what legalism is. And we, as Christians, are really talented at doing this. We all know lots of people who qualify as legalists. Many of us grew up in churches that were incredibly legalistic, or in homes where they had parents who were amazingly legalistic. I mean, if you grow up in a home where your parents emphasize you don't smoke, you don't cuss, you don't drink, you don't chew, you don't hang around with them which do. That's right. But do they emphasize, are you reading the Scripture? Do they emphasize, are you memorizing the Scripture? They don't emphasize, are you sharing your faith? Are you treating people with mercy? Are you not slandering people with your tongue? Are you not judging people harshly? Are you forgiving people and not in any way hoping harm towards them? Are you walking by faith and trusting the Lord Jesus every single day with every part of your life? Are you 100% surrendered to the Lordship of Christ in your life instead of having idols in your life? If those things are never mentioned in the home, but all these outward areas of performance, how high is your skirt today, daughter? Is your hair long, son? Did you tithe this week? Did you walk away when they started smoking cigarettes? Do you ever use a curse word? Now listen, I'm not saying using curse words or any of that other stuff or having a cigarette is necessarily right. I'm not saying that. I'm just simply saying those are the minor parts of walking with God. The major parts of walking with God are inner realities. God would much rather that our inner realities are where they are supposed to be. And that's where he puts the emphasis in the Word of God. Are you with me? And churches, I mean, listen to what the preacher preaches on. Listen to it over a period of 6 months. Write down each week. What do you hear the preacher preaching on? Do you hear him talking about gossip, malice, slander, being overly judgmental of other people, being unforgiving in our heart, being envious, being covetous, having lust in our heart, walking by faith, trusting God when we don't understand. Are these the things he's talking about? Or do you constantly hear talk about the outward sins of the Christian life? Drinking, smoking, doing drugs, other things. I'm not saying these things don't deserve to be preached on sometime. But the steady diet ought to be the inner realities of walking with God. This is the heart of Jesus. And this is what he wants us to emphasize. In the Old Testament, I want to point out to you Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Let's put it on the screen. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what the Lord requires of you, to do justice, to love kindness or mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. To do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Now, liberals love to quote this verse and dismiss the whole gospel and say you don't need to trust Christ, you don't need to stay away from all sorts of sins. All you need to do is what? Do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. No, I'm sorry. That's not everything that's required of us. But would you notice here, three of the things that are emphasized here that God requires of us are inner qualities. Mercy, justice, and walking humbly with our God. Inner realities of our Christian walk. And this is where God wants our focus, my friends, on our inside, and more than on our outside. I'm not saying the outside is not important. Don't you dare get me wrong and quote me wrong. I'm simply saying the emphasis needs to be on our inner walk with God. And if our inner walk with God is where it should be, believe me, the outer part of our walk with God will take care of itself. It will conform if the inner part of our life is conforming to God's will for us. The problem with legalism is those people who do this try to conform the outward part of their life only, or sometimes with the hope that it'll conform the inner part of their life as a result, and that's backwards. No, the outward part of walking with Jesus doesn't conform the inward part of us to it. It's the other way around. Are you with me? If I really want to have a life of personal holiness, and that is paramount to me on the inside, then I'm not going to tell dirty jokes. I'm not going to look at pornography. I'm not going to lust after women or men, if you're a woman, who walk by me. I'm not going to go to strip clubs. I'm not going to buy girly magazines. I'm not going to do any of this. Why? Because on the inside, I want to have a holy walk with my God. You with me? This is how the balance needs to be in our life. Work on the inside, and the outside will follow. When I was at another church on staff before I came to McLean Bible Church, we had I led a college and career group, and we had a youth pastor named Kenny Mahan and his wife Lorraine. They became great friends of Brenda and me. And I'll tell you something about this brother that I always loved about him is that in dealing with those high school students, You know, so many high school directors are all about the programming and the pizzazz and the outward fun and everything. And you know what? Kenny did those things, and they're important for teenagers. Don't get me wrong. But the thing I always loved about Kenny Mahan and Lorraine is that their primary interest was the inside of these teenagers. Do they know Christ? Do they love Christ? Are they surrendered to the Lordship of Christ? Are they seeking to live a life of personal holiness? Are they seeking to please the Lord on the inside? Are they having their quiet time? Are they spending time in God's Word? Are they praying and seeking the heart of God? Are they getting to know God on a personal level? This was their emphasis. And you know what? I always appreciated that so much, because so many high school ministries are not like that. And they just, it's all outward. And then a lot of times these high schoolers go away to college and they get completely picked off, shot right out the saddle, because they haven't been taught how to cultivate God primarily in their inner walk. A shout out to you, Kenny and Lorraine. A shout out to you. God bless you. And friends, may we be like that in our own walks with Christ. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I pray that you would help every single one of us who call you our Lord and our Savior. Lord Jesus, help us to make the inner part of our walk with God. Lord, make us people who, like I said, we major on the majors, on the inner walk with God. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and everybody said, what? Amen. And what? Amen. All right. So, God bless you, and Lord willing, we'll see you from Israel next week.